Thank you, Chonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, October 21st, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Sandra Nyaira.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Our First Lady Grace Mugabe's recent Meet the People tour and entrance into the political arena has left the ZANU-PF government destabilized, with more emphasis now being put on gaining or maintaining political office, says Mavambo Kusile Don leader Simba Makoni.
The purpose of her current activities is not national, but party political. Her messages are not those of, quote, the mother of the nation, unquote.
The Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association says doctors will down tools beginning Monday after salary talks with the government collapsed.
There should be a reasonable on-call allowance. Because at the moment, a doctor goes on-call for about 7 times a month. And for the 7 times a month, he goes on-call, he earns $70.
And the editor of a little-known newspaper, The News Leader, Itai Zamara, embarks on a sit-in protest in Africa Unity Square, calling on President Robert Mugabe to step down.
First Lady Grace Mugabe's recent Meet the People tour and entrance into the political arena has left the ZANU-PF government destabilized, with more emphasis now being put on gaining or maintaining political office than solving the country's economic problems, says Mavambo Don Kusile leader and former finance minister Simba Makoni. Makoni today said ZANU-PF and the nation should resist what he said looks like attempts by the First Family to create a Mugabe dynasty in Zimbabwe. Ivan
Makoni told a press conference in Harare today that while Grace Mugabe is the wife of the head of state and government of Zimbabwe, she is not a state functionary and did not deserve huge state logistical, security, communications and resources deployed in her service. Mrs. Mugabe, who is expected to take over the leadership of the ZANU-PF Women's Wing at the party's December elective congress, on Friday held a last Meet the People rally in Marondera after addressing meetings in all the country's provinces. Before the tour, all roads were leading to a Mazowe farm, with activists, including church leaders, apparently being summoned to endorse her nomination publicly.
The purpose of her current activities is not national, but party political. Her messages are not those of, quote, the mother of the nation, unquote, but the messages are partisan, divisive, combative, and self-centered.
Makoni said the huge resources used during Ms. Mugabe's meetings and rallies should have been used to alleviate hardships being encountered by millions of Zimbabweans every day.
How many bandages and painkillers could have been put in primary health centers? How many boxes of chalk and exercise books could have been put in primary schools? How many bags of mealie-meal and bundles of vegetables could have been served in military barracks, in police camps, in prisons, or even in hospitals, had the resources currently deployed to Mrs. Grace Mugabe, state resources, been used for national purposes?
The meetings, he said, had paralyzed government as ministers, senior civil service, and security chiefs attended the meetings, which he said were not national, but party events. Makoni accused Grace Mugabe of straying into the territory of the head of state by making negative statements on the competence and performance of government ministers, as well as redefining the attributes and functions of the office of the vice president.
Mrs. Grace Mugabe is making negative assessments of the competence and performance of ministers, and even threatening to dismiss them. According to her apologists, she is also redefining the attributes, functions, and roles of the vice presidency of Zimbabwe. Where does she get this authority? Who accords her the mandate to stray into the territory of the head of state and government of the Republic of Zimbabwe?
Makoni challenged President Mugabe to come clean on his wife's statements and take appropriate action, since he's the one who appoints all ministers. Makoni dismissed Ms. Mugabe's accusations that some senior ZANU-PF officials were vote-buying ahead of the December elective Congress, saying she is the chief vote-buyer as she has been handing food and agricultural inputs at her rallies, something he said she has never done since she got married to President Mugabe. He also expressed concern at Ms. Mugabe's attack of Vice President Joyce Mujuru and senior party officials, saying this was unprofessional, adding by doing so, she was showing a disrespect of the people of Zimbabwe.
She complained when people were walking out of the stadium in Bulawayo and said, it's disrespectful. But she's the first example of disrespect. Everything she's doing is disrespectful of the people of Zimbabwe, of the head of state and government of Zimbabwe, of ministers of the government of Zimbabwe, and all these people that she is haranguing. They are respectable. Vana baba na anamai mudzimbadzao. What do you think vana vevanhu ava vari kufumurwa masikati machena will think about them?
He said, though he was related to the late General Solomon Mujuru, husband to the Vice President, utterances by Ms. Mugabe at one of the Meet the People rallies that political parties like Mavambo and the Movement for Democratic Change were formed at the Mujuru's house were false.
There is no truth to that allegation. There has never been, but I can confirm we had, while he lived, a very strong relationship based on both our political involvement as well as our family relationship.
He urged Parliament to investigate ministers who were following the first lady during her rallies, as well as finding out whether state resources were not used to finance party activities. The first lady officially takes over from the Women's Affairs Minister Opam Chinguri as leader of the ZANU-PF Women's League at the December Congress. Speculation is rife that President Mugabe is positioning her to succeed him. Others think Muchinguri is being lined up to replace Ms. Mujuru, who has not responded to Ms. Mugabe's utterances about the alleged corruption, vote buying, and allegedly helping in the formation of MDC and Mawambo parties, among other things. Some analysts charge that Ms. Mugabe's anger against the vice president is being caused by rumors. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
The Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association says the doctors were down tools beginning Monday after salary talks with the government collapsed. The Doctors Association is also alleging in claims that the government is not protecting them enough should there be an Ebola outbreak in the country. But the claim was immediately shot down by Health Minister Dr. David Parenyatwa, who says the government is doing all it can to avert an outbreak, making sure all health professionals are protected. The planned industrial action will further strain a struggling public health system, which is on high alert due to the Ebola virus that is affecting some West African countries. Zimbabwe has not recorded a single case of Ebola. Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association President Dr. Fortune Nyamande tells the Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that there's a stalemate with the government over salaries.
We've given the government an ultimatum to address our concerns over salary, poor salaries and poor working conditions for doctors working in government hospitals. So the ultimatum has expired, and it seems there's no tangible movement from the employer.
What exactly are you demanding from the government?
The first one is that the government should review our basic salary from the current $282 to a minimum of $1,200 per month. Then the second issue is that the government should also increase our housing allowances from the current $250 to about $400 per month. And also for those who are staying in hospital provided accommodation, they should be charged between $35 to $47 per month. Then the third item we are demanding from government is that there should be a reasonable on-call allowance. Because at the moment, a doctor goes on-call for about 7 times a month. And for the 7 times a month, he goes on call, he earns $70. Then the other demand is that currently there's an outbreak of Ebola in Zimbabwe. And health workers are exposed, health workers are at risk but there is no protection whatsoever, you know, that mechanism that has been instituted by government. And our work entails a lot of risks, not only Ebola, even tuberculosis, any other risks, hepatitis and so forth. So we are demanding a compulsory risk allowance to be part of our salary.
That was Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association President Dr. Fortune Nyamande speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Responding Health Minister Dr. David Parrenyatwa told Blessing that negotiations are continuing.
It's being dealt with by the Health Services Board.
But are you confident that this logjam will be unblocked before the strike commences on Monday?
We hope so. We hope so. That's why we've put the Health Services Board. Maybe phone the Health Services Board chairperson. I think he'll give you a better synopsis.
How about their claim that the government is not ready to fight Ebola should there be an outbreak?
What is that? I think maybe phone the Health Services Board chairperson, Dr. Mbengeranwa.
That was Health Minister Dr. David Parrenyatwa speaking with Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The editor of a little-known newspaper, The News Leader, Itai Dzamara, today led a sit-in in Africa Unity Square. His efforts were, however, poorly supported by ordinary Zimbabweans. The protest follows a petition from the scribe calling on President Robert Mugabe to step down. Dzamara delivered the petition to the office of the head of state last week. In the petition, the journalist encourages the president, who was elected last year in a disputed poll, to step down immediately and pave way for an engagement process involving all national stakeholders, leading to the establishment of a new administration to manage the country and prepare for fresh elections. We reached Dzamara, who says the sit-in will continue until Mr. Mugabe addresses his concern.
Indeed, we embarked on our sit-in at Africa Union Square to wait for the response of President Robert Mugabe to our urgent and immediate demands that we submitted to him, which includes that his, him and his government must admit and declare that they failed to manage the country and the national economy, as well as move towards engaging all national stakeholders in dialogue to make a new way forward. So we convened at Africa Unity Square in the morning. A total of about 100 people came in support of the initiative.
And that was Itai Dzamara, the editor of The News Leader publication. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare.
A South African athlete, Oscar Pistorius, today started serving a 5-year prison sentence in Pretoria for killing his girlfriend, River Steenkamp, last year. Passing the sentence this afternoon, Judge Tokozile Masipa said the double amputee Olympic runner showed gross negligence when he fired multiple shots through the toilet door, instantly killing his girlfriend on Valentine's Day. For perspective on this issue, VOA reporter Sandekile Mhlanga reached legal expert Job Sibanda, who says that the sentence is appropriate because it falls within the acceptable range of culpable homicide.
You will have to take into consideration that this guy was convicted of culpable homicide and not murder. Normally, culpable homicide is viewed as a lesser offense than murder. And even the sentence for culpable homicide is far less. In my own experience, so even here in Zimbabwe, sometimes we do get people convicted of culpable homicide and being sentenced to that kind of sentence, 5 years, 3 years, 2 years, 8 years, or 9 years. It really depends on the circumstances of each case. In view of the fact that he was convicted of culpable homicide and the factors that the judge took into account, mitigating factors, the sentence cannot be said to be out of range either on the stiff side or on the lenient side.
Do you think that Oscar Pistorius is likely to appeal? And if he does, what is likely to happen?
I think he got off quite lightly here, considering that he has been convicted of culpable homicide where the use of a firearm was used, and there were not one, but four shots or five shots were fired into a room, one of which killed the deceased person. The circumstances of the case, in my view, called for a custodial term. There's no doubt about that in my mind. And now, as to whether 5 years is too much or too little, I think, look, a human life was lost here. I don't think that he would be advised to appeal against the sentence.
That was a legal expert, Job Sibanda, on the line with Sthandekile Mhlanga from Bulawayo.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kilohertz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
And now we take a look at regional and international news.
Talks to free more than 200 schoolgirls kidnapped by Nigerian militants last April did not begin as projected today, although there are signs that the militants and Nigeria's government are preparing for the talks in Chad.
A Canadian soldier is dead a day after a suspected Islamic radical hit him and another soldier with his car. Police shot and killed the driver after he rammed into the two soldiers yesterday in a parking lot in Quebec province.
And the head of French oil giant Total was killed late yesterday when his private jet collided with a snowplow on a Moscow runway. Christophe Demarigi, 63, and three crew members died in a fiery crash as it took off for Paris from the capital's Vnukovo airport in Russia.
First Lady Grace Mugabe's entrance into national politics has generated a lot of debate about President Robert Mugabe's succession plans at a time when his ruling ZANU-PF party is being torn apart by internal fissures. As Thomas Chiripasi reports from Harare, the First Lady believes that she had a calling from God to lead the country, although many Zimbabweans have mixed feelings over her surprise inclusion in the succession equation.
President Robert Mugabe's wife, Grace, has just finished a Meet the People tour, which touched on many hot-button issues that have left the ruling party fragmented. Initially, it seemed many ZANU-PF supporters countrywide were embracing Grace Mugabe's endorsement by ZANU-PF's Women's League to take over from Opamu Chinguri as secretary come the ruling party's congress in December. This was evidenced by the slogans of support from the massive crowds at a recent rally. But by the end of the tour last Friday, ZANU-PF youth in Manicaland and Mashonaland East in particular, and from two opposing camps in the party, had fought publicly with Mash East's provincial chairman, Reika Okonde, defying the First Lady publicly and refusing to be part of a unity accord, agreeing to work with Ms. Mugabe and end factionalism. At the beginning of the tour, she spoke tongue-in-cheek, attacking Vice President Joyce Mujuru, Muchinguri, and others in the same camp within ZANU-PF too, expressed confidence in Mrs. Mugabe. Among them, Mrs. Constance Shamu, wife of ICT's Minister Webster Shamu, who says she expects the First Lady to use her position as the new Women's League boss to unite all women in the country. Her husband, though, the party's political commissar, has a no-show in Mrs. Mugabe's rallies.
We expect good leadership from the First Lady. We expect her to unite us as women because at times when children are alone, they are disjointed a lot. So we expect her to unite us.
University of Zimbabwe political science lecturer Charity Manyeruke agrees, adding that contrary to belief that Mrs. Mugabe pushed herself into leadership, she in fact was asked by the ZANU-PF's women's wing to lead them. Manyeruke says Mrs. Mugabe has proven herself as a leader.
So far, she's already demonstrated that she's a unifier. speaking for unity in the party. She's bringing people that were in disagreements together and encourage them to be united.
Forced or voluntary, many who have been hearing about the factions threatening the ruling party have also concluded that the timing of Mrs. Mugabe's entrance into politics could be a ploy by the First Family to secure Mr. Mugabe's legacy. Among those is Tawanda Munetsi.
They are claiming to be unifying the party, but at the same time they are feathering factional agendas within ZANU-PF, and at the same time they would want to make sure that Mugabe remains in control of Zimbabwe. And as they said, they wanted a one-party state. They are already working on their grand plan of having a one-party state.
Kuwazana resident Memory Ncube agrees with Munetsi.
We strongly feel that Mugabe is taking this country as a family business. Hence, he wants to leave his wife at the top of the realm. And later on, we won't be surprised if Grace also leaves it to her son. So the women of Zimbabwe are not happy with this move.
Ncube says Grace Mugabe's involvement with the Mazowe Orphanage and the Daniko Project was a stepping stone into national politics. Sydney Chisi, director of the Youth Initiative for Democracy in Zimbabwe, OYIDES, tells Studio 7 that the First Lady's entry into national politics reflects on President Robert Mugabe's failure to deal with the succession question. For her part, the First Lady has vowed to unite the ZANU-PF factions that are battling to succeed her husband. But Chisi says Mrs. Mugabe is fast becoming another faction leader within the ruling party.
There is a very dangerous assumption that Grace Mugabe will manage the two factions between the Mnangagwa and the Mujuru factions. Yet in real sense, Grace Mugabe has already taken sides in terms of factions. If we see all these rallies that she is going around with, you would not see anyone from the Mujuru faction, which means that the Mujuru faction have already declared that Grace Mugabe belongs to the Mnangagwa faction, and it will be very difficult for her to get into the power dynamics without being tainted a faction leader as well.
Joining the skeptics are those who outrightly oppose Mrs. Mugabe's new political role, specifically her controversial marriage to President Mugabe, which some say have discredited her moral authority. Grace Mugabe, who had a child with President Mugabe, while the then First Lady Sally Mugabe was battling kidney failure, married President Mugabe in 1996. After her death, Memory Ncube of Kuwazana raises this issue.
As far as we know, Grace was married to another man, and she left that man to go and date President Mugabe while she was still married.
Chisi agrees with Ncube, saying this goes against Catholicism.
The church itself did not recognize Mai Mugabe as one of the people who can belong to different liturgies of the church. I'm sure she has basically remained very Zayoja, which means that the issue of the church not accepting her as one of theirs because of the manner that she got married to Robert Mugabe actually indicates that she is not suitable to become a mother of anyone.
Many also see Mrs. Mugabe as a divisive figure. Media Center Director Ernest Mudzengi refers to Mrs. Mugabe's public ridicule of Deputy Justice Minister Fortune Chasi at her recent rallies.
There was honestly a better way to deal with Chasi if he had gone wrong rather than lampooning him in public. So I think that is one aspect which may not be desirable. Then recently, I think as she was saying, she will spill blood, and we wouldn't want that kind of politics. We want the politicians who will tackle issues, not in a violent manner.
Others also take issue with the First Lady's attainment of a doctorate degree from the University of Zimbabwe. Student activist Stephen Chuma sees this as an assault on education and a taint to her political career.
This is all about positioning Grace Mugabe to be academically accepted in the circles of education in Zimbabwe, where we have seen some people saying, you know, we need learned leaders. It's very unfortunate when some people can be easily accorded a PhD, of which we know it's something that is hard and there's no way you can wake up or just make a phone call to say, no, can you please give my wife a PhD? I think that is exactly the scenario that is happening.
While Grace Mugabe's political entry has ruffled feathers in ZANU-PF, As the succession debate rages on, many women from both sides of the political divide expect her to urgently address issues that affect women and children. The First Lady is expected to officially take over the position of Women's League Secretary at the ZANU-PF Congress, slated for December 4th. Her election will automatically propel her into the ruling party's supreme decision-making body between Congresses, the Politburo. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Meanwhile, the unfolding ZANU-PF political drama scripted by First Lady Grace Mugabe has many observers in the public on tenterhooks, wondering how things are likely to play out when those that she says so virulently attacked decide enough is enough. The First Lady, accompanied by officials from the Emmerson Mnangagwa faction, escalated long simmering tensions recently when she repeatedly criticized Vice President Joyce Mujuru and her allies, calling her corrupt and accusing her of attempting to overthrow President Robert Mugabe. The Mujuru camp has largely remained silent, and their silence has many wondering what they are up to. For perspective, Ntungameli Nkomo reached a Pretoria-based commentator, Denise Zulu Makaplugalana, the first person to write about Mrs. Grace Mugabe's political ambitions. Makaplugalana says it is possible Mr. Mugabe wants his wife to succeed him. Technical issues there. This is Studio 7 coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington, D.C. We will go to the next one and then we'll bring you that tape later on. It's 1 year exactly, Chris, following the launch of the Zimbabwe Agenda for Social and Economic Transformation, or ZIM-ASET. The ZANU-PF government said the blueprint would help revive the country's ailing economy by stimulating growth and development.
The program
divided into a few parts. And one of them is, he has got what they call the quick wins. These are the things that are expected to bear results very fast. And the quickest turnaround is 15 months. We are actually only 12 months now. So we got 3 months, but we already have quick wins, such as the bamba harvest that we experienced, which means that we are importing much, much less food than we did last year. So those are things that we want quickly. The biggest thing that hasn't happened is actually the employment. And obviously, people are getting more pessimistic as a few companies are closing.
But with the outline of the program itself, and of course what is happening, as you pointed out, with the economy and issue of jobs, would it not be necessary to have something that at least shows the skeptics that this program is already off the ground and running?
A national program and an economic blueprint is not something you snap fingers at and then jobs are created. You know, the job for any government is to put an enabling environment, to put an enabling systems, to enable the private sector to create jobs. The only jobs you get directly from government are the civil service jobs, of which people are already complaining that the civil service is bloated. So government cannot employ people. Industry and commerce employs people.
That there was ZANU-PF's United Kingdom chairman Nick Mangwana on the line from London with reporter Tatenda Gumbo, and he was talking about ZANU-PF's ZIM-ASET program, which he says it has over the past year attracted jokes, derision and brickbats.
As a reminder, listeners, please stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will discuss with you and the experts about the state of the roads in Zimbabwe.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
And Chris, unfortunately, time is not on our side. We'll bring you the tape about the analysis on ZANU-PF and Mrs. Mugabe's entrance into politics tomorrow. And now we recap today's top stories.
The First Lady Grace Mugabe's recent Meet the People tour and entrance into the political arena has left the ZANU-PF government destabilized.
The Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association says the doctors will down tools beginning Monday after salary talks with the government collapsed.
That's all for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Sandra Nyaira, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.